What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful Select. It's the Backstage Report, and we have a whole lot in this Backstage Report. Oh my God, so much happened this week. Not all very good things that happened this week, but it was one of the more newsworthy weeks of wrestling that I've ever covered. It was absolutely insane. So let's go ahead and get into it. Usually in the Fightful Wrestling Weekly, I try to put at least 1,000 words in there of just exclusive info. This week was closer to 1,700. And of course, the WWE releases were a gigantic part of that. So PW Insider revealed that Lars Sullivan had been released, and we were able to learn a lot more. In fact, I actually spoke with Lars Sullivan, and I know I had some people that were like, well, Sean, how'd you get in contact with him? And usually I wouldn't reveal that type of thing, but I had an open line of communication to Lars Sullivan dating back to meeting him 5 years ago in Columbus at the Arnold Sports Festival when he was still Dylan Miley, who's still wrestling under his real name, and he was coming up through the developmental system. I met him there. He was doing a signing, and I was doing a lot of photography, and I'll tell the full story of covering that show eventually, but we had connected via that, and I was able to get back in touch with him just because of that 5 years later. And I reached out to him minutes after all this stuff happened, and we'll kind of get to that. But I've got some insight on a lot of Lars's career, just separately of speaking to him. I know that there were pushes for him to face both John Cena and Brock Lesnar early on. Of course, he had that breakdown. But around that time, really terrible comments emerged that Sullivan had made years prior on a bodybuilding forum had emerged. And we're talking about targeting individual wrestlers and a lot of their issues and like misogyny and racism and homophobia and a lot of shit like that that was just horrible. Just horrible. And I had heard from countless WWE wrestlers that Sullivan was a really reserved guy. He was very quiet. He was very private. And that he did come up and apologize to several people. And, I mean, that's a good thing. If you recognize your issues, you're not asked by the company to go up to and apologize, and you do it anyway, that's a good sign. However, that doesn't mean you can just throw away everything that was said. It was not good. Now, I do know that in the conversations that he had with other wrestlers, several of the wrestlers said it was chalked up to ignorant trolling when he was younger. So, I mean, that was a big issue right there. And this was around the time that he had that breakdown and he was no longer on TV. He was factored into a major WrestleMania program, I believe, at that time. So, I mean, some issues there. He comes back, he wrestles Lucha House Party and had a major knee injury. Now, when he sustained that injury, I was able to look at WWE injury reports at the time. And they had, from the jump, a June 2020 internal listing as his return. But then people that I talked to in the company said that Lars was like, no way, I'll be back much sooner than that. I've dealt with knee injuries before, nothing I haven't been through. Well, then about 5-6 months in, I heard that the tone changed a lot, and it was more like he just wants to be able to get around normally again, beyond wrestling, just completely separate of that. The reality is, after I had that conversation with people in WWE, he would only have 2 more matches in perhaps his pro wrestling career for a grand total of 6.5 minutes. Like, 6.5 minutes of wrestling after that conversation. So, that situation led to him taking off way more time than many had anticipated. Almost, I think, 15, 16 months. And during that time, an adult video that Lars Sullivan had made the rounds. And there were a lot of wrestlers that hit me up about it. They're like, is this real? What? And of course, that's not the type of thing I exactly want to verify. But I heard from a ton of wrestlers that there was no heat on this. I was told by a lot of people high up in WWE, there is no heat about this. And I got to say, WWE's handling of a lot of these situations speaks very positively to them. They fined the man $100,000 over those ridiculous comments. They did not give him heat over something like this. I mean, quite frankly, you don't need to be shaming sex workers, anything like that. Even if he had made those comments, it's like, okay, completely separate of one another. This was a different situation. However, I did hear that there was no way that Vince McMahon would look at him the same after that video released, and Sullivan had been a favorite of McMahon's upon his call-up in 2019. But I spoke to people about that, and they said he's not going to get any heat, it's not going to cost him his job, it's not going to do anything like that. Now, when I spoke to Lars Sullivan, he reiterated to me over and over again, it is weird to walk into a room and know that everybody's looking at you and wondering what they're thinking, wondering if it's one ridiculous thing that you said or one thing that you did, but he said that he never got bullied. He said that he never got bullied over this. He said that the office was very good to him over this, and to me, I think that speaks pretty well of WWE's office, and it speaks really well of their talent roster. Nobody was giving him snide comments about it, at least to him. Office wasn't giving him heat for it, at least as far as he could tell or as far as anybody else could tell. Overall, I would say that WWE handled this situation pretty well, and Lars Sullivan even said that. He said that they handled it with honesty and compassion. He had nothing but good things to say about how WWE handled the wild situation that he was constantly in. So he comes back late last year, and many that I spoke to then had no idea the creative direction or intention of his promos, particularly the shirtless one. One high-level WWE source said that it had seemed like a sabotage or a test to put him in that spot, and if it was a test, that he passed it. Now, I also asked Lars Sullivan about this, and he said to me he didn't mind it. He liked it. He thought it was an attempt to give the character depth. He was given pretty specific instructions to breathe heavily and stuff like that, but otherwise, he liked doing those promos, so he didn't see it as like a negative thing, and if it was a test, then cool. He was up for it. So he did confirm the release to us. He was surprised that WWE didn't announce it themselves. When I asked him, hey, is this true? He goes, yeah. Did they announce it? I said, no, it came from PW Insider. Or I think I said Mike Johnson, and he said, is that PW Insider? And I confirmed that, and he said, well, it was probably just them being nice and not putting it out there and giving me my privacy and stuff like that, because by all means, it looks like he wants to live a private life. And, you know, whether or not you have forgiven him for the things that he had said, it's not hard to understand why he would want to live a private life after this. And again, not condoning what he said. That was aberrant, gross shit. Sullivan told me that he said that he was done with wrestling. He told WWE he was done with wrestling. And he was battling some crippling anxiety issues to the point to where he struggled to eat during days of TV filming. He was having trouble sleeping. Unfortunately, Lars Sullivan lost his father last year as well, which really compounded that roller coaster year for him. So when you look at that, in a year, he gets called up. Those message board posts reemerge. He's going around apologizing to the roster. He has a knee injury that could end his career. During that, that adult video drops. He loses his father. He comes back. He's having anxiety issues. That's a rough year and a half. And he called it his own idiocy and his own selfish behavior. And he took a lot of responsibility for the things that happened. The feeling that I got was it was very genuine, because he ain't looking to go to AEW or Impact or Ring of Honor or New Japan or anything like that. When I spoke to him, he was like, yeah, maybe I'll get into a trade. I'll do something completely separate outside of wrestling, because it didn't seem like that life was for him. And he said that it was his dream job, but he said that he had a lot of self-inflicted stuff that prevented him from making his dream job a success. So at least based on what I experienced in talking to Lars Sullivan, he was taking a lot of responsibility for this stuff. Now, whether you choose to believe that or not, that's up to you. But I can tell you, based on just me deciphering his words, it really seemed like the dude felt terrible for the things that had happened and all that stuff. You know, I don't want to see anybody lose their job. I don't want to see anybody face anxiety issues. Can't can't advocate the type of shit that he said. As far as the video that dropped, who gives a shit? I don't care about that video. You all probably shouldn't either. Don't know if he's got a 90-day non-compete. I'm working to find out. Steve Cutler, however, does have a 90-day non-compete, and we have a lot on that. So WWE had released longtime performer Steve Cutler over, I think it was Thursday night. Before I could even reach out to Cutler or Deanna or anybody close to him, I had somebody that sent me the Twitter link of WWE announcing this, and they were at the PC, and they said, WTF, he was just here. And I said, what do you mean he was just here? He got called up like a year ago. And they said, no, Steve Cutler was here training in the big man class, bumping for them today. He offered to come in and bump for the big man class, and people like him a lot around here. He's a familiar face. He had been there forever. So, of course, I reach out to people from SmackDown. I reach out to the Cutler side of things, and basically, there was heat on Cutler dating back weeks. He got COVID-19. I think it's pretty evident right now. He and Deonna Purrazzo, ill-advised, went to a party, a New Year's party, and didn't wear masks. As a result, Steve Cutler ended up catching COVID. Deonna Purrazzo ended up catching COVID. This was very close to affecting the Impact pay-per-view as well, but she was able to get cleared ahead of time. And, I mean, there were so many people that had heat for going to New Year's parties that night. Like, just a ton. Now, Vince McMahon was livid about Cutler not being able to do TV and getting COVID-19. I have to specify this. Cutler was not at TV. He was not there spreading COVID to other people. When he, around the time he tested positive or when he tested positive or anything like that. By the time he had tested positive, he was sent home. Wesley Blake was sent home. And then they never made TV. So I would ask about a lot of people. Anybody that's missing, I ask about them. And I heard Vince McMahon is very, very mad at him. However, Vince McMahon was not around for about a week and a half due to the unfortunate passing of his brother. He is back now. We can confirm he was back on SmackDown. But Vince McMahon saw it as a risk, and it came on WWE's behalf. Cutler did not ask for his release. But yeah, there's a lot of heat about that. Now, I've been told that there was a little bit of a spin put on this as a result of why he was released from the WWE side. But, I mean, it's pretty evident. Vince McMahon was mad. I mean, I had heard about that weeks before. And Cutler never returned to television. Now, Cutler was very well liked, and so was Wesley Blake. But, I mean, there were a lot of people in WWE that were like, man, you can't go to parties like this. You can't do shit like that. Like, why would you do that? And I'm in agreement with that. You cannot go out and do that. Now, the tweets that Deonna Purrazzo has been putting out, I understand the double standard, but I wouldn't really bring that up. I wouldn't really reference that if I were them. I would just be like, messed up, that sucks, hope that we didn't hurt anybody, we'll get better. You just own up and move on. And I think both of them are very smart people, and they will probably realize that, and they probably will try to work to get better, but Steve Cutler has a 90-day no-compete clause. There wasn't heat on him from wrestlers due to Chad Lale's comments last year, Jackson Riker's. And there were actually a lot of people that felt really bad for Cutler and Wesley Blake because they had worked really hard for a lot of years and they got punished the same amount of time that Chad Lale did. And as of at least an hour after he was released, we're told that the door was open for a return. I don't know if some of the tweets that have emerged after that have changed that, but at least as of, like, shortly after, people on SmackDown high up were telling me that the door was open for a return, and that they pointed out some specific instances to me about people coming back, and I was like, okay, well, I don't think they would just say that to say it, you know what I mean? Well, we have some Impact Wrestling notes. They film February 9th and 11th of this week. We've already heard of at least one name not on the roster who will be at the tapings, but as Matt Cardona pointed out to us, he didn't even know if he was coming to Impact until the Friday prior to the last tapings, and he has confirmed to us that he will be doing these tapings. He doesn't have a contract. He said that he has committed to working that set, but likes the freedom of being able to do what he wants, and actually got the call to do the Impact Hard to Kill show and the set of tapings the Friday before that event, and he had just gotten in the ring to sharpen up. We'll have a full interview up with him soon. Kip Sabian. We have not seen Kip Sabian in the ring for quite some time, and AEW sources have indicated it's because he has been sidelined from active competition with an injury. He's not wrestled since early December, but has been figured into the television program and storyline plans with the Best Friends. And his on-screen wedding, many didn't notice that he had even been out of the ring as he was still prominently on TV. I reached out to Kip Sabian, but have not heard back from him. GCW, I have been told that they could be coming to Tampa. They are trying to get things in order to do another collective. Now, last year's collective in Tampa was moved from April to October 2020 due to COVID-19 restrictions. And of course, it was a trash fire. There were a lot of COVID tests that came out of it, but that changed a lot of things for GCW. They put out there that they were going to require negative COVID tests before they had people come in. That's a good thing. But GCW had to book their buildings well ahead of time in the past because WWE would try to put reserves on them to slow that down. We're not sure how that would play into things this go around, but we'll provide you some more information as it is available. When we ran this select story, we got a confirmation from GCW. Mance Warner retweeted it. So you can pretty well expect that to happen now. I think that's a solid enough confirmation in that regard. Although she was a part of the 2019 WrestleMania weekend GCW shows, Shazza McKenzie will not be a part of these. She is stuck overseas, obviously, unfortunate. But she is back in the ring this week, which is great. I did a very fun interview with Shazza that you all should really check out. I've been interviewing a lot of independent wrestlers lately, from Shazza to Ricky Shane Page, Effie, Jake Crist, who just left Impact, Danny Limelight, Zicky Dice, who's a free agent, the Varos Twins. Like, I really wanted to speak to a lot of independent wrestlers in this time. That way, we could highlight them. And Shazza had some hilarious stories. Like, the whole show is basically talking about how she got booked in NXT, in AEW, for doing all this stuff. She told us that she had spoken to Brandi Rhodes, back in November 2018, and that Brandi wanted to get her involved in AEW somehow. Unfortunately for Shazza, there were issues with visas that complicated things, and she wasn't able to make it as soon as she liked. She attended Double or Nothing in person and was told by Brandi she wouldn't be able to work All Out because of visa issues. However, a couple of weeks before All Out 2019, she was asked if she was available, and she made the trip in. She was put in touch with Christopher Daniels to work a November 2019 AEW Dark match while she was in the States for a Shimmer taping, and clarified that she had not been in touch with AEW much since the pandemic for obvious reasons. She also told us how she got booked in NXT, which involved her being in Florida for another Shimmer taping, and she was already planning on attending an NXT show to see Peyton Royce and Billie Kay perform when she was told that NXT wanted her to work a match at the urging of Tennille Dashwood, a fellow Australian. Shazza had to rush to find gear that would work on TV. This is such a fun conversation. Please check out this interview. If you got time, please go back and check out the Ricky Shane Page interview. I'm talking to some of the best heels, best business minds, best characters in independent wrestling. And man, you're going to see a lot of these people either become the top indie draws, if they're not already, or in WWE, AEW, Impact, ROH. Look at our track record. We interviewed Britt Baker, Anthony Bowens, Big Swole, Thunder Rosa, Eva Lise, MJF, Orange Cassidy, so many other people when they were indie stars, indie wrestlers. So it's always good to get ahead of the curve here, guys. Oh, by the way, Matt Riddle does have a new contract. I saw some reports to the contrary after we had reported that he had a contract. So what I did, I went back, I went to WWE, I said, hey, what's the deal? These people are saying he doesn't have a contract. And they said, yes, not only does he have a contract, they got it signed 2 weeks before the end of 2020, and we signed him to a new 3-year deal. And that 3-year deal is not starting when his original contract was up in July or August. It actually replaces his old deal. So he is signed through the end of 2023. So there you go. Matt Riddle has signed a new deal. Women's Royal Rumble match had a lot of surprises. It was one of my favorite for surprises. I thought Victoria was overshadowed quite a bit by Christian, but damn, I loved the Victoria surprise. Another surprise was Toni Storm. They only announced 16 entrants ahead of time, and WWE went way beyond and had additional names on hand for the event. That way, some of the entrants, if they couldn't make it, they had alternates. One of those names that couldn't make it was Mia Yim, now known as Reckoning. But we learned that Toni Storm was not planned for the match and ended up serving as an alternate when Yim couldn't make it. Casey Catanzaro was also at the venue and was another alternate that WWE had ready in case somebody couldn't make it. So lots of news this week. Man, it was a fun week. It was a very exhausting week. It was a very tiring week. But damn, was it a fun week. There was just so much stuff every single day. Like Sunday, there's the Royal Rumble. Monday, there's Monday Night Raw. Tuesday, you got Impact Wrestling with all the crossover and all that. Wednesday, obviously, AEW and all that good stuff. In the meantime, Lars Sullivan got released. Steve Cutler got released. Then Friday was SmackDown. Just nonstop news this week. I want to thank you guys for supporting that. But we're not done here. We're not done here. Injury updates. Riho has been stuck outside the country. She is announced as being set to return. As we mentioned, Kip Sabian has been sidelined since early December. In Impact, Mahabali Shira has returned. Alex Shelley has announced that he is sitting out until he's vaccinated. Good news, Mike Bennett is back in action. He had suffered a hairline fracture of his foot, so he is back in the saddle again. Great news there. Also, unfortunate news, Lady Frost has revealed that she has sustained an injury and has pulled from bookings. I would really like to interview her sometime soon. Promote her merch stores, all that good stuff. Shaw Guerrero withdrew from her bookings. She said she's going to focus on her mental health. By the way of contracts, Sledge has re-signed with ROH. And as we revealed, Moose's deal is up in June. Matt Riddle has signed through 2023. Thank you guys so much. This is one of our biggest weeks. We briefly crossed the 1,000 threshold. The issue with Patreon is it cuts about a solid 10% of your business at the beginning of each month because of credit card cancellations and all that stuff. So we dip back below. Spread the word, Fightful Select, please. I can't tell you guys how important that is. I know I say it a lot, but it's one thing for me to promote Fightful Select. If you guys say how much you like it, it goes a lot longer of a way. Of course, I'm going to say it's awesome. I'm running the damn thing. But if subscribers say it, it means so much more. And you guys mean so much to us. Thank you all. Here's to another busy week. We're out.